Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the 2017 Youth Education Conference, held in Logan, Utah.
Today we're going to be talking about finding your true love. How many of you, when you saw the title of this class, were like, it's got love in it, it's going to be about romance, I don't know if I want to go to that? Raise your hand. Nobody? Oh, we have one. Okay, good. All right, so I know who to pick on when I get to the really mushy stuff. We got one. All right, so I want to start out by talking about what happens to our brain when we fall in love. What goes on inside of our body when we see someone or something that we fall in love with. And so you guys all know the feeling. You guys are in your teenage years, right? All right, so when you guys see someone that you're attracted to or someone that you like, you get this little feeling inside. Are you all kind of familiar with that feeling? Little butterflies. Oh, yeah. So when we see someone we like, there's something that happens inside of our brain. And what it is we have a chemical release that actually gives us energy. And it's where we hear, like, when we get the butterflies and those kind of things, it comes from this release of a chemical called dopamine. And what dopamine does is it helps motivate and give us the energy and drive, or extra energy and drive, to do things. And so when you guys fall in love with something, it actually can be very productive. You can go places. You can get things done. It's exciting. And so they've also found that dopamine boosts your cognitive skills. Do you know what cognitive skills is? That's kind of a big word. It boosts your brain activity so that you notice things faster and your brain interprets things faster. And scientists actually did an experiment where they brought in some people, and they had them sit in front of some computers, and they just had names flashing really fast across the screens, and their brains didn't pick up any of the names until the name of their lover flashed across the screen. And when that name flashed, their brain all of a sudden started picking up all the names because they'd seen that one name had stuck out, and now all of a sudden their brain was moving at a faster pace and able to pick up more of the names. Kind of cool, right? Okay, so dopamine can be addictive, and often, like, when we hear addiction, of course, we think negative things, right? But it's actually good for us to fall in love, and it pulls out, it helps us to become more motivated, and we can accomplish more when we fall in love. So you guys have all heard the stories of the knight in shining armor who rides across deserts and storms and through huge forest to get to the castle and fights the dragon to save the damsel in distress, right? You guys know those stories? Okay, it's usually something like dopamine that drives them to those extremes. Men are willing to face no matter what odds to go get the princess, right? And so we know that historically, like, we have stories and there's evidence of the fact that love can cause people to do amazing things, right? So side effects of love, just a little warning. Love can cause you to lose your appetite, need less sleep, which for some of us would actually be a good thing, right? Your guys' age. And to have a single focus or no focus at all. Usually it's either you're daydreaming about that certain individual or thing, or you can't focus at all. You're just in la-la land all day, right? And so one of the greatest ways to overcome boredom at your guys' age is to fall in love. And you can quote me on that. Tell your parents, I'm supposed to be falling in love. That's what I'm supposed to be doing right now at this age. Okay, so I want to talk about that. So boredom, how many of you have ever been bored before? Be honest. Yay! Boredom is a very common thing at this age because you got energy, you're teenagers, you want to go explore the world, you want to go find the castle and fight the dragon, regardless if there's a princess, right? Being bored can be a dangerous thing. Boredom leads to, if we allow ourselves to be bored for too long, we can become lazy. We lose direction. We lose a lot of that inspiration and that those dreams and things that we have inside of us. And all of us have dreams. So it's important that we don't find ourselves being bored. And I had a professor in college who told us once, he said, if you ever are bored in school, in your workplace, in life, you need to find something to fall in love with. You basically need to fall in love. Because it's impossible for us to be bored when we're in love. So another important aspect about your adolescent age and the time period you guys are in is that your brains are, you naturally have more courage and creativity, which oftentimes our society doesn't know how to deal with, because they're like, oh, we have these crazy teenagers, we need to settle them down, we got to keep them in control, we got to, you know, because we like, at your age, it's like, I'm learning to drive, I love to speed, I like to break the rules, you know. But it's just because naturally you have more courage and creativity. Now this fine man flying through the air is my husband, the love of my life, and he has a lot of courage and creativity. But it's important that you guys realize that this is actually a great attribute to have. It's awesome that you guys are creative and you have the courage to go do things. And trust me, you have a lot more now than when you get on in your 20s and 30s. It goes away after a time. And so this time in your lives is actually pivotal to who you become, because you're setting the stage and setting habits for who you are going to be. And you can use that creativity and that courage to start going in the direction that will lead you to who you'll be in adulthood. And the problem is a lot of adults grow out of this stage, where they grow out of this period of being able to have courage and creativity, and then they just get to the humdrum of life, and they stop having those adventures, and they stop chasing the princess, and they stop being as brave as they once were, and they find themselves no longer in love, right? So it's important to learn about this and to keep it going throughout your life so that you can be creative and you're constantly putting yourself out there so you can be brave, getting out of your comfort zone and doing those kind of things that will help you live a life full of meaning. Okay, so I want to tell you about one of the first times I fell in love. I was 15 years old and we had just finished a year of school. Now, I was homeschooled, just so all of you know, you're in good company. But I did go to a private school in high school, and that year I had an amazing teacher. She inspired the heck out of me. And at the end of the year, she told us she would take us on a camping trip. Now, I was the only girl, I'm the second one in there, I was the only girl that actually went on the camping trip besides my teacher. It was a survival camping trip. And so when they told us that we were going, her and her husband took us. They said, all you can bring is a sleeping bag, one change of clothes, and then when we got there, they gave us a tarp, and they showed us how to roll up a pack, and gave us our food rations for the week, which consisted of rice and beans and oatmeal, all of them dried. So, and then we learned to cook over a fire, and we just learned how to survive that week. I remember the very first day, my brother and his friends were playing around, and they stomped on a field mouse before we even got started on our hike. And Mark, our instructor, was like, whoa, 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 pick that up. You kill it, you eat it. And they were all like, oh. And so my brother's like, okay, I'll take it. So he packed that rodent on his pack all day long. We get to our camp that night, and we're just like, he's not really going to eat it. This is crazy. You can't eat a mouse. And Mark showed us how to roast it, and he bravely ate the mouse, much to his future wife's dismay. But anyway, and so on this camp trip, I just fell in love, because we learned everything from flint knapping to making a bow and arrow to making bow drill fires and learning how to track. And I mean, we saw bear prints, and we learned how to learn direction from the constellations. It was just awesome. The whole week I was just on fire, and I was like, I could do this my whole life. When I came back from the camp, my face was painted, and I had my wooden spoon that I'd carved hanging around my neck. And I was like, know what I'm going to do the rest of my life? I'm going to be a cave woman. Fortunately, I grew out of that stage. But I was in love. And I actually went on, when I got into college, I went and worked at a youth survival camp and helped trouble youth. And that's what we did. We camped and survived all week long, and it was very therapeutic. Anyway, so that's one of my love stories. Another thing that I discovered at a young age is I graduated high school when I was 16. And that summer, I turned 17, and my friend called one night and was talking to me and my sister, and she's like, yeah, I just got back from China. It was an amazing experience. And I'm like, China? Where's China? what is that? You know, I'm like, and I've graduated high school at this point. I did not have a very in-depth education. But I was like, that sounds like a cool place. And she's like, Megan, you need to go to China. You've got to call this lady. You've got to go do this. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should. So I wrote down the lady's phone number. Next morning, I called her. And I was on the phone for probably a half hour with this lady. And when I got off the phone, I was like, and I walked out of my parents' office, and they were just getting ready to go out on a walk. And I was like, Mom and Dad, I'm going to China. And I got to rush my passport. And they're like, no, you're not. Of course, you can imagine the shocked look on their face. And I was like, no, I am. I'm already committed. I just told the lady on the phone I am, and I got to rush my passport, and I have no idea how. And anyway, and so my parents helped me, and my mom protested till the day I got on the airplane. But I was like, I'm going to China. I don't even know where that's at, but I'm excited. So I took the longest plane ride, the first plane ride of my life, and the longest, clear over to China, sat by two little Chinese ladies on the plane the whole time. They couldn't say a word to me, but they did give me a blanket because they knew I was cold. But anyway, crazy experience. But I learned more on this trip to China than probably anything I studied before that. It taught me so much about myself, about cultures, about people, about falling in love, and learning how to help people and see their needs. And I mean, we got to know incredible kids, and I taught classrooms full of them. And I was there for 3 months, and we went and seen some incredible things while we were there. But what I walked away with was, when I got back from China, I was a different person. I grew up in those 3 months. And I realized, I love this. I need to travel. I need to see people in the world and cultures. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it, but I love this. And I knew I loved it. I was deeply smitten by travel. So I want to talk about that. I want to talk about falling in love. And I know I'm shifting gears on you guys. You're all excited about finding your future romantic partner. But I want to focus on finding love in everything we do, not just in romance. Lord Alfred Tennyson, you guys are probably all familiar with this quote. It comes from one of his poems. It says, 'Tis better to have loved and lost than to never have loved at all. What does that mean? Sounds pretty. What does it mean? Yeah.
I think it means that it's better to basically have a lover than to have never loved anyone or loved anything in your life or to have had something you have loved to do.
Okay, great. I'm just going to repeat that for the mic. He said, it's better to have something to have loved than to never have had anything that you did love, basically, right? Yeah.
Basically what it's saying is don't avoid love because you're afraid of losing it.
Exactly. Don't avoid love because you're afraid of losing it. I really like that. Thank you guys. So I love this quote. I remember the first time I heard it, I just thought, wow, that's kind of deep. And I've pondered on it ever since, and it comes to mind often. That's the power of memorization. You guys should memorize things so it can come to mind and give you inspiration. But like she was saying, both of you were saying, if we never love, then we never, I mean, sure, we avoid heartbreak, which we all want to avoid, right? But we lose the essence of life. We lose the importance of why we're here to begin with. We're here to love, and we're here to learn to love and to become excited and to have dopamine and to be motivated and to storm the castle, right? We're here to be brave and to become all that we should. Yeah?
And sometimes heartbreak isn't a bad thing, because if no one has a heartbreak, then no one's going to know sadness.
Profound. Thank you. If we've never had heartbreak, then we'll never experience sadness, right? And those heartbreaks, those low moments that we go through, is what changes us. It's what builds us. It's what builds character, builds what's inside so that we can be stronger and so that we can ultimately know ourselves. We can't really know ourselves until we've experienced these different emotions and these different things to actually know how we react in those situations or how we can heal ourselves and become stronger. Did I see another hand? Yeah.
Well, I said what I was going to say, but there's an opposite to everything. With happiness, there has to be heartache.
Perfect. Perfect. Second Nephi 2, opposition in all things, right? So we have to have happy to experience sad. Great. I love your insights. Okay, so I want to tell you an awesome story about a wonderful little lady who, her mother died at birth, and she lived with her dad, who was a preacher. And if you guys are familiar with the story, Pollyanna goes to, when her dad dies, and she goes to live with her Aunt Polly, who is a very sad, melancholy person, and very serious. And so Pollyanna is just like this bubbly, energetic little person. But it's not because she hasn't ever had anything bad happen in her life, right? She's lost both her parents. She's an orphan. And she has every excuse to be upset and to be hurt and to be lonely, right? But she's just so happy. And everywhere she goes, she lifts people and makes them happy. And she plays what is called the glad game. I refer to this story because oftentimes we feel like we should, you know, it's like, woe is me, poor me, or whatever. And part of falling in love and loving life is having a heart full of gratitude and being able to see the wonderful things around you. And that also opens up your mind. When you have a heart full of gratitude, your mind is freed to be able to start seeing opportunities. But if we're always sad or we feel bad for our situation in life, we can't see the opportunities in front of us. And so I keep saying at your age, but really, guys, you're at in such an awesome age. I loved my teenage years. But you guys are at a time where you're discovering. You're trying all different kinds of things, and you need to be. Go out and try different stuff. Now is the time that you can go try stuff and learn about things, get to know people, and experience stuff so that you can kind of know what direction you want to take. I can't tell you how many kids go to college at 18 years old after they've graduated high school and have no idea what they like or what they want to become. And going and taking a rock climbing class is like phenomenal to them because for the first time they're in love with something, right? But you guys can experience amazing things before you ever get to your college years so that you don't have to waste those 4 years of expensive education, right? Live your life right now. Find what you love. Explore. Do stuff so that when you get to college, you can zero in on what you want to become. Or, you know, and I'm not saying all of you have to go to college. Some of you don't even have plans for that, and that's fine. Just know what you want to study and explore different things so that you have a direction. All right, so sometimes we have to learn to love hard things, right? And that's also an important lesson to learn at this age, that not everything seems exciting. I remember the word business intimidated the heck out of me when I was in high school. I was like, business, that's like skyscrapers and people and cities and I was raised on a farm, right? But when I got to college, I learned a lot about business and it became one of my favorite topics. I love studying the economy. I love learning about its effects on government and politics and people and cultures, right? So this is my beautiful garden this year. I grew up hating gardening. Every morning my dad would wake us up and we'd have to go weed the garden. My mom made breakfast, and it was just one of those things that I was just like, I hate gardening. Grew up on a farm, I love playing the dirt. I do not like gardening. And so, like, I'd rather be sitting in a tractor, honestly. And so it's just one of those things that I was like, okay, I don't like gardening, but when I got married 3 years ago, I was like, I'm the homemaker now. And homemakers grow gardens, whether I like it or not. So my first 2 years, I tried growing a garden, and it was a complete flop. I can't even tell you. It was an embarrassment. I didn't even take pictures of it. I wouldn't want to show you. So this year, I was like, it's important to me. I may not like it, but I'd really like to learn it because it's important. And so I went out, I convinced my husband to let me buy a book about it, and I've been learning about gardening. And this year I'm super excited. I have things growing, and it may not be the best looking garden, but I got corn, I got beans, and they're my babies. I go out there every day. I'm so excited that something is growing for me. Anyway, and so sometimes we have to push ourselves. We have to push through those walls. We have to push through things. And I'm not saying I'm an expert yet, but I'm starting to like gardening because I'm putting in the work. And the more time you put into something and the effort, you'll start to find that there isn't anything out there that you can't learn to love if you put in effort. There is no person out there that you can't learn to love if you don't serve them and give them time and effort. And sometimes that's a hard lesson for us to learn, but it's pivotal for your life. Service is one of the most important things we do in this life. And if you can learn to love other people by serving them, it can take you amazing places. But the same applies for learning different skills and things. Some of you may not like washing dishes or making your bed or washing the toilet or whatever it is, right? But the more that you do it and the more effort you put in, if you're the toilet washer in your house, buy a book on it. Show your mom that you can care. Study that. And you'll be amazed at how the weirdest things that we can learn to like and appreciate in our lives if we put in effort. So, one of my favorite books, how many of you have ever heard of Louis L'Amour? Yay! He's my favorite. And those of you that haven't, you need to discover Louis L'Amour. He wrote an amazing book called Education of a Wandering Man. Highly recommend it. His life was all about pursuing what he loved and learning about different things. I mean, he went everywhere. He left home at 15, jumped on a train, got on boats, he explored the world, and he learned to tell stories. One of my favorite quotes from it is, at one point in the book, towards the end, he has a mentor. There's a lady that really cares about him, and she's been trying to help him with his education, and she's really invested in him. And she said, what do you want to do? What do you wish to do, and what would you like to become? And he said, I don't know. I didn't know, and I told her so, but the question worried me. Should I know? There is time, she said, but the sooner you know, the sooner you can plan. To have a goal is the important thing, and to work toward it. Then, if you decide you wish to do something different, you will at least have been moving, and you will have been going somewhere. You will have been learning. I love that. Planning, learning, acting, doing. That's what you guys need to be doing right now. Discovering. There's a whole big world out there. Trust me, I've seen most of it. And it's awesome to discover different things, but the most important thing about that is discovering who you are. I'm not saying you guys have to travel across the ocean and go see different cultures and things to know who you are or to find what you love. Some people don't like traveling. My sister went to China after me, didn't like her trip. She disliked it and she hasn't gone anywhere since. That's fine. All of us are different, but it's important that you try. She would have never known that had she not gone, right? And so we have to put ourselves out there. You have to dabble in things. You have to try things out. You have to experiment to be able to find what you love. Sometimes we think we love something, like we see a pretty girl and we're like, wow, I really like her. And then you go talk to her and it's like, no, I don't like her. There's nothing there. You know, so sometimes it's the same with, I keep using the boy analogies. It's the same for us girls. We see a good looking guy, go talk to him. It's like, he is so full of ego. I can't stand him. Not going there. All right. But it's the same with learning about academics. It's the same about learning who you are. You've got to go try stuff. Sometimes it looks glorious on the front, but maybe it's just not for you. And you find that out. And that's great because that's what self-discovery is. Okay. Oliver DeMille said, the truth is that as a teen, nothing is as important as finding out who you really are and discovering what you are supposed to do with your life and then preparing for it. I really believe that. I really believe that there is nothing more important in this life than finding out who you are and your place in this world and this time you've been placed in. Never doubt that the time period you've been born in is important and that this is your time. So I want to tell you a story about Dr. DeMille. How many of you have heard of him? He is an educator, and he had a college at one time, and I attended his college, and he was my mentor. And I learned so much from this man, but what I loved about him most was his passion. He knew his mission more than anyone else I've ever met. And he tells a story of when he was in high school, about your guys' age. He wrote a senior paper, and he wrote it about how the Constitution has influenced the world more than any other document. And he said it was a great paper. He did an excellent job on it, turned it in. And he said when he got it back, his teacher had wrote on it. His teacher basically challenged his assumption and said, is it really the most important, the most influential document? What about the Communist Manifesto and Das Kapital and these other great documents that have influenced the world? He said, have they influenced the world any less than the Constitution of the United States? And he said it bothered him so much because he'd never read Das Kapital. He didn't know about Marx. And so he went to find it. He went to find that document because he wanted to know, is there a document that's influenced the world more than the Constitution of the United States? And so he searched and searched and searched. He said he went to his public library, but he grew up in a really small town. And so he couldn't find a copy of it anywhere. And finally, he said he was rummaging through their basement and he found a book of great documents that have influenced the world. Imagine that. And he found it in there. And he said he studied the manifesto and he studied Das Kapital. And the more he read about it, and the more he learned, it made him angry inside. and he discovered he hated that book, and he hated what that man had written. To his very core, it bothered him. And of course, you guys know about communism, right? You know about World War II, and you know about China, and you know about how this document has influenced the world, and the sad things that have come out about it. When I was preparing this page, I told my friend, I said, I'm depressed. Just putting these pictures on the page is so depressing to me. It makes me want to cry because of the horrible things that have happened in history because of that document. So has the United States Constitution influenced them more than any other document? It really caused Dr. DeMille to think. And because of that one question that a well-placed mentor gave him, it altered the course of his life. And he realized that this story had to change. And this story needed to be healed. And somebody needed to start doing it because it was hurting people and it was killing people and it was destroying what made people happy. Dr. DeMille, this is him, he went on to study the Constitution, study the founding era. He just delved into it because of this evil and this hate that he seen. It drove him to finding his life mission. And now he works to help liberate people. His mission is to educate the ignorant and liberate the captive. And he's, you know, he's done amazing things. But what I love about it is his ability to effectively convey how important it is to study and learn so that we don't become like those other nations, so that we don't lose our freedoms that we do enjoy from the Constitution here in this land. Okay, so it's important for you guys to choose this day whom you will serve. I know you've all heard that before, but Dr. DeMille goes over different allegiances that we can have in our lives, something that we're dedicated to, okay? So I want each of you to think and write it down. Don't just think about this. Write it down and be specific. Be intentional in your life. If you have an allegiance, choose what it is. Is it God? Is it doing good? Or are you more influenced by peer pressure or your neighbor or others? Okay, these are real questions, and it's super important to answer them at this age. Because if you're more influenced by good and by God, it doesn't matter what your friends say. It doesn't matter what the public, you know, kids at school or other things, it doesn't matter what they're doing. Because you know your direction and you know to whom you serve. I want to tell you an incredible story about George Washington. I have many heroes in my life, but one specifically is George Washington. I love this man. And when he was 15 years old, his whole life up to that point, he had dreamed about going to sea and becoming, working for His Majesty's ship force. I'm not sure what that, the Navy, thank you. And he had an older brother that was in the Navy and would send him letters all the time about these amazing places that he'd visited on the ocean and stuff. And George Washington, that's all he wanted. He wanted to get out of Virginia. He wanted to go out into the ocean because the ship represented freedom. It represented an endless world of discovery. So when he was 15, his trunks were already on the ship, and he comes down the boardwalk thing to say goodbye to his mom. And if you guys know anything about George Washington, he had a horrible temper at that age. And his mother was also a very determined lady, though. And when she said something, you listened. And so he was all ready to go, and he goes to give his mom a hug. And he said, you know, thanks, Mom, for all your help or whatever. And she says, George, I don't want you to go. I can't have you leave me. And you can imagine the devastation when she said that. And he stepped back, his mouth agape, and he just looked at her. And then he clenched his fists and walked back onto the ship. And just as he's getting to the top, his mom says, George, where are you going? And he said, to get my trunk, Mother. It's already on the ship. And he went and got his stuff. And even though he was publicly humiliated in front of everyone that his mother had asked him to come home, right when he's getting on the ship, he took his stuff home, and it drastically changed the history of the world. I want to read you the last part of this story. Glenn Beck tells this story in his book, Being George Washington. He says, rule number 108 from Rules of Civility was weighing on his mind. Honor and obey your natural parents, although they be poor. Honor and obedience ruled that day, but perhaps some measure of divine providence did as well. After all, Had George Washington gotten on that ship, he may very well have gone to grand destinations like London and Calcutta. But there is a very good chance he would have never made it to far more humbler locations like Valley Forge and Yorktown. I truly believe that the decisions we make in our life are pivotal. They're important. Some of you may think, hey, it doesn't matter. I'm going to go do whatever I love. But I challenge each one of you to find out what your allegiance wants you to do. Find out what God wants you to do first, because you never know what calling he has in store for you. And it can dramatically change the world. I'm sure all of the things that George Washington did, he never thought were that grand or grandiose, because he was George Washington. He was a very humble man. But that's what was so critical. We needed someone like him with his leadership at that time in the history of the world to help give us the freedom that we enjoy today. All right, so I was going to take you guys on a vision quest, but I just want you guys to really think about what it is you want to become. And I really challenge you to do this exercise sometime. Go out by yourself in the woods. The first vision quest I had on, I went clear up in the mountains, and I was there for several, I think 6 hours actually, all by myself, just pondering, thinking. And it really gave me direction as to who I wanted to be and what I wanted to become. But ask yourself the deep questions. Ask yourselves not just what I want to be, but who you want to become. Do you want to be a person of character? Do you want to be trustworthy? Do you want people to know that you can be trusted no matter what? Those are the kind of things, important characteristics that you need to be developing right now in your life. My awesome friend read this to me just this morning, and I loved it, and so I wanted to share it with you guys. It's by M. Russell Ballard from last conference, and he said, "Over the years, I have observed that those who accomplish the most in this world are those with a vision for their lives, with goals to keep them focused on their vision and tactical plans for how to achieve them. Knowing where you are going and how you expect to get there can bring meaning, purpose, and accomplishment to life." And I just want to echo what he said, that it's important to set goals. So even if your goal today is to walk away and say, "I'm going to try a new thing every week," let that be a goal and accomplish it, and you'll see things change. It's important to set goals, and it's important to set goals that are attainable so that you can start learning how to have self-discipline and discover who you are. Okay, so you all know the story of the Karate Kid. Part of this journey is finding a good mentor, someone who can help you along that journey. And I know the past 2 days you guys have heard lots of talks about people talking about all this, and so I just want to emphasize, a mentor will give you direction. If you know you're interested in something, don't be afraid to tell your parents and say, "Hey, I need help finding someone that is really into aviation," or "I need help finding someone that understands math." I don't know if any of you are passionate about math, but my husband is a math geek, and he loves it. But find someone that loves what you're interested in, and go talk to him. Go have him ask him to help you and to mentor you. And it'll change your life. It gives you direction and purpose. Okay, this picture is from when I was in Africa. It was during a sunset one night, and I learned so much about myself on the different adventures I went on. But the most important thing is to find purpose and meaning in no matter what you do. And so I challenge each one of you to find that purpose and meaning in what you're doing. John Taylor Gatto said, "Discovering meaning for yourself as well as discovering satisfying purpose for yourself is a big part of what education is." You're at a very educational time in your lives. You're at an educational seminar. The purpose is to find who you are and why you're here. Discover that purpose and meaning so that you can have impact and really, guys, I know you guys hear all the time, "Go out and be powerful, change the world," all this stuff, like rah, rah, rah. But honestly, like, just be you. You can have more impact on the world by just knowing who you are and being a good you than you even realize. Your neighbors, your friends, people look to you, but they need an example, and they just need someone that really knows who they are. People are attracted to people that have confidence and know who they are and that are comfortable with it. And so it's so important to be able to find out who you are. Another one of my heroines is Joan of Arc. This is such an incredible story. I love the story of Joan of Arc. But just remember that she started having visions when she was 13. She led the French army when she was 17, and she was burned at the stake when she was 19 years old. But she left a legacy that is still impacting the world today. Because of what she was brave enough to stand up and do, because she listened to her allegiance and she listened to her God, she was able to lead armies and inspire people in ways that no one else at that time could. And she was just a girl, just a young girl, your guys' age. Never underestimate the power of vision and the power of having a mission. If God calls you, do not fear. Do not be afraid, because he will provide a way. Doesn't mean it'll be easy, but it's what you're supposed to do. I love Captain Moroni, and this scripture in 1 Nephi, or 2 Nephi 1:3 always comes to mind when Lehi was talking to his sons, and he said, "Awake, my son, put on the armor of righteousness to shake off the chains which ye are bound, and come forth out of obscurity and rise from the dust." If you guys don't walk away from anything from this conference or from this talk, I want you guys to walk away brave. I want you to know that you can do it. Be brave. It's hard. It's a hard world out there. It's supposed to be hard because it makes you stronger. So be brave. Don't be afraid of who you are inside. Face it. Love it. Embrace it. And then do what God has called you to do. One last little story. I grew up on a farm, and my job when I was a teenager was the chemigator. I'd wear the funny glasses, the big boots and gloves. And I put chemical on the potato fields, and so I'd have to get up really early in the morning and get them started and get the chemical mixed and calibrated, and then I'd watch the pivots all day until usually pretty late at night. But I worked for my uncle. We ran a family farm, but my uncle was my boss, and because my dad, anyway. So one time, my uncle, like this is my relationship with my uncle. Sometimes I wouldn't get up in the morning because I was a normal teenager and I really loved my sleep. And my uncle would come to my house and pull me out of bed. Imagine your boss showing up at your house and getting you out of bed. It was like the most humiliating thing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, my uncle scares me so much. He scared me so bad. But one day we had stopped on the side of the road and I was telling him about the different fields and stuff. And then at the end of our conversation, just before he pulled away, he looked at me and he said, "Megan, you have to wake up to make your dreams come true." And then he drove off. And I just sat there and I was like, I feel like that was really important. But it had a huge, huge effect on my life. And I've taken that. And I know he meant, wake up, get out of bed in the morning. But there's a deeper meaning. And I know he meant the deeper meaning as well. That we have to wake up. We have to shake off the dust, like Lehi said, and become alive. Be excited. Fall in love with something, you guys. Let the dopamine go crazy inside and give you motivation so that you can discover and love life and dream. Anything you dream, you can do. Have the heart of Joan of Arc and have the faith to be able to accomplish what you need to. Last quote. This is Gandalf. You guys know Lord of the Rings, right? Oh, yay! I know. Everybody loves Lord of the Rings. So, at one point, he's talking to Frodo, and Frodo says, "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. "So do I," said Gandalf, "and so do all who live to see such times, but that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us." Every single person in this world right now, every single person, no exceptions, millionaire, poor person, whatever, has 24 hours, 7 days a week, no matter what. And what the difference is those who choose to do something with it. We all have the same time, but we need to be active. We need to choose what to do it. So don't find yourselves bored, guys. If you find yourselves bored, get up. Get going. There's something for you to be finding. There's something for you to be loving, and you need to get out there and discover it. So, I said last quote. God sees you not only as a mortal being on a small planet who lives for a brief season. He sees you as his child. He sees you as the being you are capable and designed to become. He wants you to know that you matter to him. So I just want to close with that, guys. You matter. You're important. You are a genius. And every single one of you have hopes and dreams that you need to pursue. So I hope that you can have the courage to find it, and I hope that you can go out and find your true love and live a life full of purpose and meaning.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.